Yeah, that wasn't very Christian. That was Muse, Uprising. Funny that, well, a lot of people like that song, and I kind of like it too, but they work for Warner Brothers. They don't define they. They will not control us. We'll be victorious. I'd like them to define they and we, but while they're working for Warner Brothers, somehow I don't think it's going to happen. They have other political music. I haven't listened to it yet. I kind of like that song. But I haven't listened to it. They're on a couple of threads in the forum. White Ceramic Bowl posted one of their songs. And in fact, I think he posted that one. And then I posted Resistance and a copy of that one that I host. It's all right. But I don't think anybody's listening to the message if they understood it. Because as he sings, they will not control us. Everybody herds off to Walmart, McDonald's, and Burger King and all those other crazy places.
Wait a minute, you're watching football tonight, Bill.
Hello, RP. How you doing?
Hey, hi. Well, I had two crazy run-ins with the Devils and Shoe Leather past week, and boy, was I ticked.
Let me announce the program real quick. This is
okay.
I'm sorry. This is
William
Fink, and this is Monday, September 20th, 2010, and this is the Christiganier Open Forum. And it doesn't look like I'll have to appeal for callers tonight because there's about four or five people requesting to speak now, which I appreciate, and hopefully we'll have some lively conversation. Hello, RP. How you doing?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I early in the week one of my clients, a guy that had, you remember when I had those two guys on, the guy that served in World War II? They're friends of Eustace Mullins.
Yes, I remember that vaguely.
Yeah.
They had some strange ideas, but I remember that.
Yeah, well, it's pretty strange ideas. Well, anyway, this guy has a chair as a friend, okay, which I find pretty interesting. And the terror was there to pick him. This guy, you know, is 80. The other guy's 75, the terror. So I go out there and just to give him some grief. And he says to me, boy, the place next door needs to be burned down. And, of course, that's the Arabs, Muslims next door. And I said, well, yeah, that's exactly why they're being brought into this country. The same thing with the Mexicans, because they want to foment a big war so that the people responsible won't take the heat, busy fighting these other people. And I forget what scripture I quoted. And he said, oh, you're trying to convert me. And I said, no, I'm not trying to convert you. And he brings out this package of DVDs. Must have had, I don't know, 10 of them in there. And he wanted to give me this DVD, and it was The God That Wasn't There. Anyway, it's a DVD that seeks to prove that Jesus never existed.
Right. Now, I bet if you turn over the back and look at the credits, it's probably written by Mortimer Sternberg and produced by Chang.
Well, man, oh, my gosh, I got so hot. Anyway, well, you know, so that's one incident. A few days later, I'm at a bookstore, and the guy's in there, and he's not Irish, and sees me looking at a book. It's called Sieged Patriot, L.K. Smith, G.L.K. Smith. I forget. He was a guy that was friends with Huey Long. He was walking with Huey Long when he got shot by Carl Weiss, and he did the eulogy for Huey Long. And it's a book written by him. It's kind of an autobiography about how he comes so close to knowing he didn't know who Israel was, but he knew that the people followed Christ were more Israel than people he's supposed to be. You know, he was promoting Martin Luther's book and the Protocols, and he's friends with Ford, and this is a really interesting guy. And he saw me looking at that, and he started. And I had one time broached the subject about the moon landing, you know, about the irregularity. Then he brought up Christ. He said, "Oh yeah." He said, "Yeah, the guy died and got up 3 days later." I've read the Bible 5 times. I've read the Bhagavad Gita. I said, "Well, I've read the Bhagavad Gita." I said, "Have you read the Talmud?" And that just stopped him, and the whole place went quiet. You know, he's closing the stories, you know, selling everything out. And I said, there's a lot of things that are said to be true and are not. And I said, how about the Bolshevik Revolution? Tens of millions that were killed over there. So I don't know anything about that. Okay. And then he brought up the Holocaust again. And I said, well, no matter what the amount was, what about the tens of millions? And that pretty well ended the conversation. But I tell you what, that has had me, these two run-ins has just had me just ticked off all week. I've been ticked off for 6 days. I mean, it was so perfect. You know, the scripture says, who is a liar but he who denies Christ has come in the flesh? He is a liar and antichrist. I mean, it's a definition. Both of them express the very definition. It was astonishing. It was a double witness. I mean, gives me goosebumps. Because I might have been getting a little soft there, you know, just so many things going on in my life. That double witness, it just raised a hack.
Well, right. And if you spent more time outside, you'd find more people like that, I'm sure.
I've been in for a week. It hasn't been, it's been a week. I'll be ticked off going to bed tonight. Thinking about it. I ran it today to one of my other people. And I shouldn't let it bring it in my business because I've got people to take care of. But I said, oh, yeah. I said, this elite group, I didn't name them. I said, that's all coming to him collectively. He might even, you know, this fellow might even be part, you know, I don't know. How do I know? nice guy, so I don't think he is. I shouldn't even bring that crap up in my business because, you know, foolishness. It says in the scriptures that it's an evil time, and sometimes you have to be quiet prudently.
Well, right. Nobody for 1,500 years, well, longer than that, right? But I'll count from about the time of the Council of Nicaea.
Yeah,
from 1,500 years until the Enlightenment, that nobody dared open their mouth against the Scripture or doubt the Scripture, and most people simply believed it and took it at face value, and that the times proved that the Scripture is right, right?
Yeah, it sure does.
The attitudes of today prove that the Scripture is true, along with a million other things.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, God be true, let all men be liars.
Well, we have a few more people on. I'm sure. Let me just say that, to follow up at what I spoke about Jeremy Visser last week, I haven't heard anything to change my mind from the conclusions I made then, but his phone number is now disconnected. I only tried to call it twice. I'm sure other people have tried to dial it also, and maybe.
I got an email from him today.
Yeah, you know something? I'd like to check out if that email was legitimate. Victor Switzer just forwarded his copy to me, but one of the emails in between here and there stripped away the original header information. I don't have it.
We were afraid of.
Need somebody who received the email directly to send me the message source as a text file attachment or something.
Pilgrim says she's going to send hers to you.
Yeah. She'd have to send me the message source or all the headers or something. There are ways to do it in several mail packages, but they're all different. Source, headers, and cut and paste and whatever.
I just discovered his Facebook page is gone, too.
Again?
Yeah, the new one's gone.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is... it's totally flaky.
What in the world's going on? I missed that thing happen last week.
Oh, I'm sorry, Russ. I was just going to say, I don't want to mention any names, but I was warned about his instability months ago. But, I mean, the guy's done a lot of good work, and I can't just kick him in down the sewer, right? We shouldn't do that.
Well, Bill, before his Facebook page went down, one of the things he marked on there he liked was a book by Patty Duke. I can't even remember the title of it, A Beautiful Life or something like that, but it has to deal with bipolar disorder.
Interesting.
I'm not saying he has bipolar disorder. I'm saying he found the topic interesting. So
yes.
Well, you know, most of these things that they come up with are largely caused by breaking the food laws. You know, the sugar, way some people handle their sugar metabolism affects them mentally. And then they give a fancy name to it. And they want to give them this kind of drug and that kind of drug.
Well, you're absolutely right, Russ. And I don't give credence to anything like ADHD, ADD, bipolar disorder. I understand what Victor's saying when he mentioned it, right? I don't give any credence to it. I think you're right. It all has to do absolutely with the violation of the food laws and an ingestion of even things that are supposedly clean, like high fructose corn syrup doesn't violate food laws, but it's just crazy to digest so much of that in our diets. I mean, that's
body can't handle it. Body can't handle it. It's like sugar.
You know,
water. You could die from too much water. It's been done. There was a water drinking contest hosted by a radio station a couple of years ago in Ohio while I had my extended stay there, and a girl died from ingesting too much water.
Yeah, they wash all their salt and they go into a heart attack, don't they?
Well, whatever happened, but she was ingested as a doornail shortly after the contest.
You know, when I went to school, elementary school and high school, there were exactly two people in my class who had some sort of allergy. Me, I'm allergic to penicillin, supposedly, and there was a girl in our class who was allergic to dairy products. No one else had any allergies. I remember this distinctly. Now, you take any class today, and you're going to have kids in there that are allergic to this, allergic to that. They can't eat this, they can't rub against that. It's crazy. I'd never heard anything about this when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Right. I have no allergies, but my mother has a ton of them, and she's on all kinds of prescription medication.
Yeah.
It weakens your immune system in other ways, and you think you have allergies. But what you really have is a lack of something somewhere.
Well, they claim type O blood has more allergies. I'm just telling you what they claim.
Well, she's type A like
none.
I am.
Type A? Now, that they claim that is the agricultural blood type, you know, the farmer.
A for agriculture or O?
A. Is
oh, okay.
O is kind of like a meat eater, hunter-gatherer type blood.
Well, that's funny because I've always been a huge carnivore.
Big meat eater? Yeah, I know.
I'll put away about 2 or 3 pounds of roast beef before I even touch the vegetables.
I'm the same way. Same way.
The vegetable goes last for me. I mean, there are times I'll eat nothing but vegetables, you know, or today's lunch was pears and slab of cheese, but I'm a carnivore, yeah. Probably not eating for my blood type, eh?
Well, who knows? You know, that guy might not be Irish that wrote that book, so.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, interestingly, AB blood type, which is a combination of herders, people that ate a lot of they claim that, whether it's true or not, you know, that people who ate a lot of lamb and beef and all that would have B blood type. And A was the agricultural thing. And that blood type, on average, only lives to be 61. On average, 61 years of age. They have a real high mortality rate. Like the two blood tanks. Uh-oh, sorry.
Hello, Kent. I didn't know again. You must be busy. I thought you were still correcting papers or something.
It wasn't until 5 minutes ago.
Are you AB?
Yes, I am AB, yes.
Yeah, that's the average. But how old are you? You beat the average already?
No, I'm not there yet.
No, Kent's got quite a few years to go.
I'm AB negative, if that helps.
Yeah. I don't want to go there.
I never heard that before. It's just supposed to be a rare blood type, but not a dead blood type.
No, well, that's why it's so rare. No.
There's just a couple of us left.
I'm kidding. Do a Google on it. But they claim that the blood type on the shot of Turin is AB.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I don't put a lot of credence into the Shroud of Turin either.
No, the most people think it's that guy, that Frenchman.
I do now.
The Frenchman who ran the Templars. What's his Jacques Dumelay?
Yeah, well, that's
Jacques Dumelay.
Yeah.
Thinking that it's Jacques Dumelay is probably as fantastic as believing that it's Christ, right?
Yeah.
And it's only trading one idol for another. That's all they're doing. It's an idol.
Okay.
It doesn't matter who it is.
7 of 9. They say you and I sound alike.
Oh, really?
You do.
Yep.
You have that. You both have the same a particular quality to your voice. I can tell you apart easily but you do both have the same part, the same vocal quality in some respects.
You mean lack of quality?
Lack of quality. Why are you so down on yourself today, Kent? Yeah, your blood type's so good, your voice sucks. What's wrong with it?
Well, he's the one that told me I was almost dead.
Oh, sorry. It's probably kite trickery.
I hope so.
I do too. I could put on my announcer voice. Hi, this is Jimmy
Barnes.
Well,
I had a rough weekend with Linux. I had my head's full of techie garbage. I got to try to purge it by Thursday. The next 2 days I'm going to be full of it. I took Windows off my big computer and put Linux on it, and I had to go through about 6 different installs to get one Linux to work.
I'm roadkill on the information highway, Bill.
Well, I'm glad I'm rid of Windows. I'm rid of Bill Gates. I'm not giving Bill Gates any more stinking money. Done with him forever. That Jew bastard, I can't stand him. I'm sorry, go on.
No, that's fine. Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, really.
Did you see the video on them?
Yeah.
I got a copy of it on the new Ensign where he says he's going to reduce world population through health care and vaccines. That should tell you right there to flee from the hospitals, flee from the doctors.
Yeah, I stay away from as far as I can, and I do fine.
Speaking of new ensign, I was on that site and I saw that Myron Fagan.
Yes.
Have you listened to him?
No, but I read that. I read that presentation that he did on the Illuminati in prison, but I haven't listened to it.
Okay. Well, I guess there's a few things that you don't like on there, but it's still on there.
Oh, yeah, there will be. Nothing's going to be perfect, right?
The new ensign is turning into the old ensign.
Well, you know, the new ensign, this is what the site's about. First, yeah, you know, there's a lot of excellent people in British Israel and that are really, believe it or not, even though I pick on them all, I pick on British Israel as a whole all the time. There's a lot of excellent brothers and sisters we have in Britain, and I get to try to edify some of them, poke my finger in the eye of British Israel World Federation, poke my finger in the eye of the traditional non-two-seed line British Israel leadership, and they, you know, it's there because it's a collection of the identity literature that got us all here, right? That's my real purpose for it. I have the entire British Israel World Federation library practically scanned in documents and hope to put it all up on the new Ensign site, even if I don't agree with probably two-thirds of it. It is, and probably 80% of it is far from perfect, but that's the information that got us where we are today. And my point is that a lot of this stuff is good, but we have to grow beyond it, right? Where British Israel, they have stopped growing. They stopped growing 120 years ago. They learned they were Israel, embraced the Jews, and stopped learning anything else. They stopped studying right there. That was it.
I feel they're regressing, too, with their obvious embracing of the Jews now here lately.
Well, right, but that's you know, it's been more often vociferated lately, but they've always embraced the Jews ever since the days of Edward Hines, who corrupted British Israel forever.
Well, I'm saying you threw them a huge bone with this Myron Fagan thing. He's, like, off.
Well, yeah, I know, but, yeah, you know, we all have our walk, Kent, and Fagan's from the 50s, and he probably did pretty good in the 50s. And he was
the
reason why a lot of the people in identity are in it today. I mean, that's part of Clifton's trek too, is Myron Fagan, and he actually resold those tapes for cut copies for people and yeah, you know, we didn't sell them for profit, but to cover his costs, he did that for a long time.
Well, I don't understand why you would put out stuff you know is wrong.
Well, because if I put out only what I know is right, I would only have three or four essays on my whole website, right? and I just delete everything else.
Well, what would a prophet do?
What would a prophet do? That's why I have separate websites, because I'm hoping that people find Christogenia and realize that that's a step further than Comparé and Swift and Kat and all those people.
Well, I suppose if you throw a disclaimer in there or something, I don't know, it kind of annoyed me when I saw it.
Well, yeah,
I can't believe Bill did this.
I have put disclaimers in the new Ensign, and I have a disclaimer on the About page of the new Ensign, if you'd read it. I really do. You could go there right now and see a disclaimer I put together.
Okay.
I mean, it's only a paragraph, but it is there.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the first things I remember reading it. Sure.
Yeah, I read it. I did not.
It's right under the God Save Britain. It's a big disclaimer. It says disclaimer, bold letters. Christogenia.org does not agree with everything that's found in the archives on this site. Rather, the new Ensign archives are meant to be a collection as complete as we can make it of British Israel and Christian Israel identity and similar literature, which has helped us on our path to what we now consider to be the truth. That's my position, and that's the way it's going to stay. I mean, if I wanted to throw out everything that that I didn't agree with because I think I'm more correct, well, often I am convinced I'm more correct, but I wouldn't have nothing left. I'd have 6-7 web pages up. That's all I need. And people would miss out on a lot of good material, even though at times it's an error.
Okay. I thought you said that you were putting in the new ensign to refute the old ensign.
Well, yeah, you know something? There's a lot of two C line material on this new ensign that the old ensign would never have anything to do with. Yeah, you know, so that's often my cause, but it's not my only purpose.
Oh, so there was actually an old ensign newsletter or something?
There's an ensign messenger newsletter, and they claim that the Jews are Judah and
British Israel or something.
Yeah, they make all the same. They're not British Israel. They're not connected to the British Israel World Federation. They are another British Israel group, and they make all the same mistakes that the British Israel World Federation makes.
Oh, I see.
But the disclaimer on the about page of the new ensign that sums up my purpose, Ken. My primary purpose.
I understand it better now.
If we don't know where we came from, how do we understand the value of where we are if we don't see where we came from?
Okay.
And I would never, you know, most of the stuff I would never have on Christogenia.org, but that's why I have a swift.christogenia.org. That's why I have a new ensign.christogenia.org.
Okay, so that thing is basically for the regular ensign people.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping that people in Europe who are familiar with British Israel can use this site as a stepping stone to my site, to Clifton's site. That's my real hope.
Well, good luck with that.
Well, yeah, right. But I mean, I got to do what I can do, right?
Yeah. No, I'm all for it, you know. I just didn't really understand. That's all. But you clarified it now, but thank you.
So the purposes are mixed. But, hey, the site's getting 1,000 visitors a month the last couple of months. And I think it's doing pretty good, and hopefully it'll continue to do that.
You mean the new ensign site's getting 1,000 people?
A month, yeah.
Wow.
About the last 2 months, it's got over 1,000 people a month.
All right, that's wonderful. I just, you know, when they get into it, they'll probably just think, well, this is what he thinks.
Christogenia.org had 1,400 visitors Friday and Saturday.
Gee, wow.
So We're definitely raising some curiosity, at least.
I'll say. It's amazing we don't have, you know, like 200 people on Friday night or something.
Well, I've had a lot of people sign up for my for my newsletters and for site memberships on the Mind Comp site. I got to go through them and see who trolls and which ones are spammers and which ones aren't, right? But I got about 30 sign-ups from the last 2 weeks that I got to look through.
Okay, good.
Mailing list and stuff like that. So hopefully it'll pick up. People are searching. The Mein Kampf site is getting 150 visits a day.
Wow. Well, I don't, you know, as far as Hitler's concerned, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Matt.
That wasn't me. That was somebody else's feedback.
It was Matt, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was just going to make a comment. I was just going to say that the forum on Christogenia is getting busier and busier. Approving more and more anonymous posts, I guess that's from people who signed up for memberships who still haven't been approved yet.
Well, the forum, usually Pilgrim's pretty much on top of them for me. The Mein Kampf site had a lot. The forum, I don't think anybody's waiting right now. I could go double check. And I've been slow to not even logged into my forum.
Yeah, you've got there's a couple posts on there that I guess were directed towards you, questions towards you.
Yeah, I'll try to get to it by Sunday. I just spent I spent a few hours there last weekend. Hopefully I'll get a few hours there this week. And if I could do it sooner, I'll be tied up with I have to make some improvements to Eli's site tomorrow. And then Wednesday I have to get back to this other store. So. Nobody's waiting right now, but which means Pilgrim must be caught up on him. She must. I didn't approve Wilbur Swain, but he sent me a Facebook friend request too. I have to get to in a week. It's getting harder and harder to answer. Sorry, but
who's Wilbur Swain?
Oh, somebody that just signed up for the forum, for the Christogenia forum. And Matt, I'll probably I've been kicking around making you an admin and making another moderator. So I understand that the forum's going to get busier, so I'm not going to lean on you and Pilgrim to do everything. But yeah, you have been a tremendous help.
That's fine, Bill.
So if there are volunteers for moderators on the Christogenia Forum, I'd like to hear them. Because I don't... But it has to be somebody that's going to spend some time there, right? That's there at least a couple of times a week.
Right. I also want to let everyone here know, tomorrow night, the Cristaleo Show, I will be hosting it. And I'm pretty sure I might actually put something together instead of doing it extemporaneously this time.
Okay.
Oh, you're hosting tomorrow night, right?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, it'll be here on TeamSpeak.
Wonderful. I'll make sure I recreate the Leos channel. When we updated the software last week, the server software, there was a problem, and it was easier to blow it away and reinstall it than to figure out what the problem was. That's the nuclear option, right? So that's what we took. So I just have to recreate some channels. I'll recreate the Cristaleo's channels as we get hosts.
Well, you know Bruce is in charge of hosting Cristaleo's now, right?
Yeah. Yes, I understand that. He's listening to me, I'm sure. He's here anyway. He's listening at least sometime. Well, what do we have tonight? I'm sorry, my head's not very attuned to... What's been going on? Any feedback from the programs last week? The Peter program, the Ezekiel program Eli and I did, or I missed the program with Greg Howard Sunday because I had I was redoing my computer Sunday, so that was I wanted to catch it and I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, well, I missed a lot of shows last week. I was really busy last week. I have a little bit of catching up to do.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah, they are all on the archives.
I had my daughter. Talking about daughters, today is my oldest daughter's birthday. 33 years ago in about 15 minutes, my blondie blue-eyed girl came into the world.
Hmm. You're showing your age, Russ. You're squealing on yourself or something.
Yeah, well, my daughter just celebrated her 15th birthday here on Friday.
Oh, neat. I have a 14-year-old, too.
Well, that's the one you just had with you, right?
Yeah. Spent time with my oldest a couple days. I was tired of hanging out with an old guy, even if it is her father.
Yeah, I doubt it, Russ. I just echoed what my wife said. She's like, I doubt that.
We have a good time. She's stressed because of the separation. Hopefully my wife might come to her senses, but I have strong doubts to have another meeting.
Yeah, we can only pray for such things, Russ.
Yeah. Well, a lot of us have gone through that. I know Greg, Matt pulled it out with the help of Yahweh.
Yes, I did. Well, I cannot take the credit. I absolutely cannot take the credit.
Wonderful, man. It can happen.
Well, I have to say I am a prime example of that, but sadly, I have not. I seem to be the minority.
It seems that the ladies tend to be really influenced by the world.
Well, isn't that the essence of the story of Adam and Eve?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's they don't. I hope no ladies take offense. They tend to have a better sense of feeling, and it's more about what they experience gives them meaning to life. And it's not 100% collected, but my experience that they do a lot of things through how their feeling relates to what happened gives the meaning rather than more of the digital, analytical, this is a law type of thing. And I think that opens them up to undue influence.
Well, right. But Pilgrim, on the other hand, come back and said, no offense, but we won't mention what influences men.
Very good.
Very true. Very true. Again, I mean, in all seriousness, though, you know, you saying it right there, Russ. I mean, women make choices and decisions mainly based upon the emotional. And men will do it upon the logical.
Well, when men transcend the lust.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true of men who don't have eyes full of adultery. I only wanted to qualify that and get it in tune with reality.
Hey, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. When you're sinning in your heart, you disconnect disconnect from the Holy Spirit.
Well, you know, absolutely.
You disconnect from everything.
Well, yeah, that's when we're not thinking with the right head.
I knew that was coming.
And that's the distraction to this world that they have caused most of us to permanently disconnect from the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's why they push that doggone porno. Our people are, you know, busy. You know, they set the women out in front of their tents with the finery, and the men of Israel went in unto them. That's what it says. That's the doctrine of Balaam.
Absolutely.
Whoa, I know that's not an Israelite woman, but it's close. Yeah.
Most men think like that. Most men today definitely think like that.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't matter what race they are.
Well, if you ever notice, the ones that they're largely attracted to have a lot of white blood in them. What's that black woman that is in a 007 movie? I had some guy say, oh, man, you know, just...
Halle Berry?
Yeah. And I said, are you kidding me? Not in a million years. No way. He says,
well, that was Lena Horne. They started that with, I think it was Lena Horne, right? That popular Negress actress back in the 40s and 50s.
Before that, it was Billie Holiday.
That they pushed
in the 20s and 30s.
For that reason.
Yeah, because they're largely white. And they're on the outside limits. I mean, it wouldn't do anything for me, anyone that's the spirit's moving thing, but if they're under drugs and drinking, you know, what the heck, you know? You know, I've never been a drugger or a drinker, so I didn't have never had any of those beer goggles. Crazy stuff. Chat room stopped for some reason?
No, it hasn't stopped. But this isn't talk show. But the chat here doesn't freeze up. It doesn't happen.
Oh, I see. I click on something. Okay. Halle Berry. Joe Pa's got it. Yeah, I had this non-Irish guy trying to promote race mixing to me one day, and I let him have it, you know. Boy, he just terrified him. Seen a look on his face. And he
That's what they deserve. They deserve to think about that. They have to have that witness. They have to have that testimony. And even if they only get it once or twice, they've heard it, and once they've heard it, if they don't repent, it's on them.
Well, this guy's not going to repent. He was an Edomite. He was trying to promote it, and I let him have it.
Yeah, right. Well exposed, like a devil, right? Like a devil caught in the act. That's great.
Well, then the other day with that, one of those conversations, the guy said, I mentioned that, oh, that's what I mentioned was the six deadly sins. And he saw it's sex and money. Sex and money. This is what the Edomite said to me. And along with trying to give me this DVD. Man, I got mad.
No, I know exactly
I'd like
where you're coming from, Russ.
Hmm.
I've had a few of them this week myself.
Really?
I've had a few prior weeks here where I've been pretty much at home. I haven't been that busy out and about so much. But this last week, I was out and about quite a bit, and I think everywhere I had been, I ran into race mixing and just all different kinds of things that I just absolutely could not keep my mouth shut on. But I guess it kind of makes me a little dangerous to be out in public at this point, especially if I'm cooped up inside for too long, because then I start feeling a little guilty that I'm not out spreading the message so much.
Yes.
And so I saw
a woman with two little manders 2 days ago, and you know, I so badly wanted to say what the hell is that? So badly. Oh.
I did production for a show yesterday that was about 2 hours away in the middle of nowhere, and you know I was getting all excited because here I'm thinking, you know, yeah, we're out in Redneckville, and you know that's all I'm gonna see are white people. And not only were there many different races there, but I saw a lot of white guys with black women.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was absolutely astounded. And
Matt, where were you?
Close to Mount Union, which is fairly, I'd say.
Mount Union, Kentucky or Ohio?
Kentucky or Ohio? No, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
It's midway between the capital of Harrisburg and Pittsburgh. So, you know, it's smack dab in between, you know, the two major metropolitan areas there. But, I mean, they're so far, they're 4 hours apart. So, I mean, this is in way out in the country. You know, we had to go through a bunch of the Blue Mountain tunnels and over a couple more mountains and, you know, literally out in the middle of nowhere. And you could have swore that this gathering was in the middle of one of the cities.
How could anybody do that?
Well, I think honestly, what I think what it is, it was an employee appreciation party or something like that, and it had to be some kind of governmental department, because this, it was like a caregiver for the mentally retarded.
And well, that explains it.
They were in the right place.
Right. Well, and one thing, of course, I noticed was, I'd say almost two-thirds of these retarded people were Mamzers. They weren't white. They were all different, and that's why there were so many different races there.
Ah. Well, you know, those mules don't they have a lot of problems when you start breaking Yahweh's law. Yeah, there is a particular group of people who be unnamed that have all kinds of psychological and physical problems.
Jews.
So sad. Somebody mentioned
something. Jews.
Well, you know, we were talking about the food before, and I really think that the diet, it is another angle to assault our thinking, and they program us on the television. They program us to this multicultural new world diversity in the schools, and I think that the diet, all the sugar, all the soybean, makes us weak people. All the chemicals, all the fast food, the lack of vitamins, the lack of real nutrients, that makes us weak people, and that affects our minds as well. And it makes us susceptible to all of the more or less spiritual warfare. It's great. It's people just buy into it. All those people sitting in Taco Bells and McDonald's, and they're eating just I wouldn't feed that swill to my swine if I had any.
It's susceptibility to suggestion. That's when you are deprived of vitamins, minerals, proteins, you know, the essential building blocks that your body needs. Once your body is at a very depleted rate, which almost everybody's is, no matter how much they eat, that in conjunction with the fluoride in the water and the toxins in the air, you know, that just, it's an absolute wonder that we, for as much sickness, allergies, diseases, and everything that we have going on right now, I'm surprised you don't see three arms and five eyes as a common occurrence as autism.
Joe Pa says there's not enough fluoride in the water to make me date a black woman.
Yeah, you know, that was absolutely unspeakable when I was out on the streets.
Did you see that
there wasn't a guy, that there wasn't a white guy I knew anywhere that would black woman on his arm.
Oh my gosh, how could you? I would be embarrassed, ashamed, grinned, feel less of a man.
Yeah, there's no, I went to school. I was one of three white boys in my entire class. And there was no way I was going to date a black girl. Although, I guess when I was in eighth grade, my first girlfriend, I guess I considered her white, and then I found out that she had a black dad.
Oh, jeez.
Well, thank goodness it was eighth grade, you know, the puppy love kind of thing. You know, it nothing serious, and, you know, once I moved on to high school, I never saw her again. So.
Yeah, well, she
did you take her for being, I'm curious now, what she going to look like?
Well, where I went to school, because there were so many blacks, and I mean blacks, trust me, she looked white.
Wow.
And quite honestly, you know, I didn't even think anything such as race mixing existed at that time.
Oh, yeah, you're a little kid. So her dad wasn't one of those blacks then, because the kid would be. Did you ever notice the kid of a really black person is going to be black, no matter what color the other person is?
Actually, no, he was. Seriously, he was. And
well,
I couldn't. No, he was. He was.
No, he was.
I know for a fact he was. Now, she had a younger brother who was in a different school when I finally met him. I mean, he didn't look. He was definitely a lot darker than her. She looked so much like her mom, and her mom was lily white.
Well, then that wasn't the dad.
Today,
there's no way.
If I saw her today, I'd be able to point her out immediately as having, you know, as being part black. But I wouldn't have thought of her at all as being half black.
Well, that's probably because he was part white also.
Somewhere. It's possible, but he didn't seem like, I guess I only met him once, but, I mean, there was no mistaking that he was a black man. So there's my race mixing story.
Yeah, well, thankfully, you were young.
I don't even think I kissed her. And the thing is, the reason I dated her was we were not even part of class. We were given our work for the day. Teachers only had to check up on us a couple times throughout the whole school day because we were about two grade levels ahead of the rest of the kids.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
Right. So, you know, she was the only one I actually had interaction with. So it got to a point where, you know, even if we didn't consider ourselves boyfriend and girlfriend, everybody else did.
Yeah. Well, like I said, she probably looked very white. And you were just a little young guy. And I always went for those red, kind of reddish haired, Scottish Irish girls.
Yeah, well, I didn't have much of a chance to interact with too many white girls, except during the summertime. I mean, I lived out in the country, but I didn't live in a town. It's not like, you know, I had neighbor kids that I could play with or anything like that. You know, the only reason I went to a city school is because that was the closest Catholic school.
Hmm. Yeah, I went to an all white school. I think there was one Hispanic guy named Rank was his last name. Everybody else was white. We were wrestling an all black wrestling team, and one of my highlights of my athletic career. And we had lost every match up to my match, and I pinned my guy, pinned the rest of the way out, and won the match. But it was just like they were all intimidated because we're wrestling these black guys, you know. And I never was intimidated. My thing is to pin that whoever it is out there.
Yeah, well, I can see where you get a little distracted by the smell.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the comments that one of my older boys had when he wrestled.
Yeah, they appeared more muscular than we did. Well, you know, we're quite pretty muscular, but they appeared more muscular, and I think that the guys thought that they were going to be stronger, and they were intimidated or something. I don't know. But
they're not stronger.
I know. It's a myth. I know. I went out there. I pinned my guy. Boom. I think I did pin him in 23 seconds. I used to use a pancake move. You know, you hook one arm over the top, one under the other arm, and you just lift him up. Twist them and lift them off the feet and, you know, take them to the floor. Get them right then and there. That was one of my best moves, kind of a Greco-Roman type move. And they tried to butt you with their heads, is what they would always try to do. And the only thing they beat me in was track. I do really good up to the, you know, the big meets, and they're a little faster than me. My little Irish mother was so short, I could have been really fast. I mean, I was fast, but I'd have been another 3 inches taller, and I'd have been winning some state things. But I wasn't.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'9".
Okay. All right, that's not bad. That's respectable.
Dad's
fair height for your age.
Yeah, my dad.
Yeah, I got an inch on you. I'm 5'10", and I can run fast in short spurts.
Yeah, that's
I don't have any, like, long-distance endurance. I had to slow down after a little bit. So there was no way I could do track.
Yeah, the best mile I ever did was 5:29.
Wow. That's way better than any mile I ever did.
What's that for a mile?
Yeah, but I was best in a 60-yard dash. I beat nearly anybody. 100. Blacks would catch me at the end, beat me. Some of them beat me bad. But me and a guy named Roger McBroom were the fastest guys. Roger was 5'5", little Irish guy too. Those Irish guys must have some fast twitch muscle fiber because we were the fastest guys. My mother's name was O'Brady, and his mother, his dad's name was McBroom, and he was a red-haired guy.
Yeah, I ran cross-country. I ran the 400, 800, 1600, 32.
Yeah, endurance muscle fiber. It has 8 different fiber types, and then there's a blend and a mix, and then it depends on your leverage factors. Like Bill's a great big tall guy. He's, what, 6'5", Bill?
6'4". I'll claim 6'4". I'm a little more than that, but that's all right.
Yeah, I had a good friend who was 6'4". His name was Tushak, Polish guy, nice guy.
I was going to say Tushak sounds like a rap singer.
It's not. Matuzak, M-A-T-U-S-Z-A-K, something like that.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Tushak.
Remember, I pronounce it like the Poles do. Remember John Matuzak played for the Raiders and played for, I think.
No, I'm afraid I don't.
He was a huge guy, 6'8". 85, 295. John Matuzak. Died young.
Yeah, I saw a guy in the supermarket the other day. Pretty good build on him. About 6'6", 6'7", at least 3.
That's a big man.
But looked like they got him right off the farm. Looked like he ate a steer for dinner last week.
I used to train these pro...
He looked a few years younger than me, too, but he was big.
I used to train these pro football players. One of them, his name was Sturt. He was... He was about 6'4 and a half, 295, played 9 years in the NFL, played for the Redskins, Pats, and New Orleans Saints.
Well, it's a shame they handed over sports to the Knicks. I can't.
Well, they're manipulating that.
I wouldn't be interested in it anyway. It's all about money and rivalry.
Yeah. Well, what it does is it gives our men a false arena to let go of their aggressions.
Yep.
Instead of having that urge directed at protecting the family and our extended family and all that, they get this artificial. I mean, it's that banding. We had all Caucasian team. You know, it's like warfare. You know, it lets that energy out.
I'll tell you what, I've been on a rant about the whole football thing, you know, because 'tis the season, and everybody I know, that's all they talk about, actually, that's half of it. The other half is fantasy football, and I'm listening to these guys just rattle off all these numbers, and, you know, I'm like, if you spent a quarter of that time actually, you know, looking around you and paying attention to what's going on, you would care less about this stuff. You know, I love telling a lot of people, well, yeah, I used to be a Dallas fan, and, you know, they try and hide news out that. And, you know, I tell them, you know, I really could care less because I really don't care now. I really haven't.
Yep.
And, you know, the
it's bread and circuses.
Right, you know, football is being thrown in with that quintessential statement of mine, you know, that people don't have, you know, as long as we still have McDonald's and Walmart, people aren't going to care. Well, you know, if they have football, McDonald's and Walmart, people just are not going to care. They'll bitch, whine, moan, and complain, you know, about everything that's going on, but as long as they still have a couple pennies to scrape together to spend on these things, they're still not going to wake up.
Ben Franklin said, if the man has $1 less than he needs to meet his bills, he's desperately poor, and if he has $1 in excess, he's rich. And that's what, you know, and of course, the value of the money keeps getting weaker and weaker. And I think there's a, you know, the stuff is going to hit the fan. And, it's going to be a terrible time.
Oh, it's just going to be an absolute calamity. And, you know, half the time I don't even really try to bother discussing actually the dual seed line message to a lot of people. Because, you know, most of it, if I can impress upon them that, you know, look, you need to wake up to what's going on in the world and at least start preparing. You know, they're not going to survive long enough to even study long enough to understand the dual seed line message.
Oh, yeah. It's more about survival. Hey, Bill.
Yes.
You know that they always quote that 200 million man army coming against Israel. Is that a correct
No, I can't wait to do a Revelation series with Eli. The 200 million man army has been coming. They've been coming from the time the Turks crossed the Euphrates, the end of the 11th century, until the time that their final siege against Vienna in the 1680s. That 200 man army. Oh, absolutely. It can be demonstrated. I'm going to demonstrate that very well when Eli and I covered it at Revelation.
Okay. Because that always, you know, made me wonder. You know, I wondered what that all represented.
Well, that's in Revelation chapter 9. It's very clear that happened and before the Reformation, which is Revelation chapter 10.
And that's when the king of Germany stopped him. What was his name, the great big guy? Who was that beat them at that big battle?
In 1680, that was their final siege against Austria, against Vienna. I mean, I don't know what Austrian king that was. That was the Habsburg kings that were ruling Austria at the time, but I don't know who it was.
What? Oh, I had another question.
I just broke an office chair. I leaned back and the whole plastic casing on the chair just cracked on the back of my chair. It's going in the trash tomorrow. These chairs. I can't buy a real chair. Crazy. I weigh 250 pounds and I sit in the same chair all the time and it's not good for the chair, right? It is. It's cheap Chinese junk, Pilgrim.
What about the flood out of the dragon's mouth is the media lies and the aliens are bringing in. They said that every foul bird would lodge in our branches. Is that the aliens?
Yes, absolutely. There's no doubt. And that's used over and over again of the ancient world where we've had nothing but aliens dwelling ever since. Babylon, you know, and Egypt. And
I put in some things in there about that Noel Ignatius. Just to tick everybody off.
He's got to be a Jew, right?
Oh yeah, he's a Jew. He said that you need to outlaw the white race.
Right. Well, he's not really a traitor, right? I mean, he's acting like we'd expect a Jew to act. He's not a traitor. He's just the one Jew that's open about it.
Yeah.
That they all feel that way. I mean, they are Satan. There's no doubt.
Yeah, listen to this. The white race is a club. Certain people are enrolled in it at birth without their consent and brought up according to its rules. For the most part, they go through accepting the privilege of membership without reflecting on the cost. That's the, that club is the exclusive club of Israel, devil boy.
Well, right, but this privilege of membership, like we're all privileged, only very few white men are actually privileged. The rest of them work their asses off.
It's called working their asses off, building. Why do these people, if we're so terrible, why do they all want to live with us?
Well,
because
yeah,
the Spirit of God is in the midst of his people, and they sense it.
The hypocrisy can be seen no matter which way you want to look at it. I mean.
Yeah. Boy, this, what an evil clown.
That's like the other day on, on Saturday, I played a show. And, you know, most of the places that I play at, of course, you know, are multicultural. And I'm sitting down, and this black guy in dreadlocks sits down next to me. He'd been, you know, watching me play and whatnot. And, you know, and he just started rapping with me. And I wanted to ignore him, but he passed something to me, and he's like, you know, I'm a writer, too. I write poetry. So I opened it up, and it said something about race. and he's like, well, you know, you got to understand, I'm a black man. I'm like, no, really? And I don't even, it was like very eclectic, very vague. And you could tell it was definitely, he was carrying this book with him, the biography of Napoleon. And this was like his hero. So very odd man. But then, of course, we got, you know, we just started a discussion, of course, because, you know, I'm reading this thing and he wants to talk about race. Well, I guess I'll oblige him. Needless to say, in about 5 minutes, I had chased him out of the place, and I was none the happier.
Yeah, whenever anybody brings that subject up, I say, well, why is it that there's a race on the planet that never built a building more than two stories high, surrounded by water, never built an ocean-going vessel? When the remnants of that people in Australia never learned to count past one, two, and many. How is it if they're, we're all the same, they didn't do all these great things? And the one guy says, well, what about the Chinese? They had a great civilization. And I said, well, there's a lot of evidence to suggest through the interaction or inner, you know, action with the Caucasians had a great deal that I said Buddha was a white man. And so, but yeah, it's, you know, it, honest conversation on the subject. A liberal, whether he's an Israelite or non-Israelite, they don't want to go there. When you deal with the facts, I one of the great stories I always like to tell this lady, I said, and I knew where she was, I said, blacks run faster and jump higher, don't they? And she said, yeah. I said, they're every bit as smart. He goes, yeah. I said, you're a black supremacist. What are you going to do?
Well, that's the way that they're as racist as we are, but that, it's not nice for us to be racist.
Oh, yeah. If they're all racist.
They're hypocrites.
The Mexicans think they're a race, and they're just a polyglot of three or four different groups of people. And they call themselves La Raza, the race. They're not a race. They're... You know, if they're so great, stay down there by themselves.
Yeah, right.
You know, why did they think that? You know, it kills me.
Why do they got to live with us?
Right. You know, they act like you know, they deserve their land back that we fought and died for and paid an exorbitant fee for. Now, all of a sudden, because they've pretty much laid waste to their own country, you know, yeah, now let's demand back something that is not even theirs to take in the first place.
That was a deal that they made with that, what was that guy's name, that Jewish president of, part Jew, president of Mexico, that NAFTA name?
Vicente Fox.
Yeah, Vicente Fox. And, you know, so much of the, that Fardic blood went in there after they got kicked out of Spain. They went over there because there's gold, too. Like I said, if all these people are so – our biggest mistake is we took all our technology and gave it to all these people all over the world.
Right, absolutely.
If we would have kept it all, we'd have been unimpeachable, untouchable. And you know who sells all that stuff? Clinton, they sent those computer boards over there, and then the rocket crashed. And that's how the Chinese got the technology. That's how they claim they got the technology for intercontinental ballistic missiles.
No. You know what? Back in the – I don't know if you remember me talking about this before, Russ.
No, I don't.
I had a magazine, a political watchdog magazine back in the mid to late 90s called Sheeple Magazine. And that whole issue with Clinton being a traitor to the Chinese, I was covering that for a long time. And yeah, that was one of their false front stories as to how they got all that ICBM technology. Oh yeah, absolutely. He was so in the pocket of the Chinese, it was ridiculous, and it was ridiculously obvious. And, you know, much like the known connection with the Bush and the Bin Laden family and all that stuff, it's the same thing. And it's all right out there, right in everybody's face. But, you know.
I read an article from a Jewish woman in Australia that claimed Bin Laden is actually a Jewish family. Bin Laden, actually Jewish.
That would not surprise me in the least.
Well, he's a 6'6" Arab. That's unusual.
Right. He's got that quintessential Jew nose, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, remember Nasser? What was that guy that was the head of the Palestinians? Yes?
Arafat.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, complete with liver spots.
Oh, my gosh, what a hideous man. Hey, guys, I got to go. I'll talk to you another day.
Okay, Russ.
All right, God bless. Take care.
Take care. Thanks for stopping.
Yeah, I find myself worrying from time to time that I just don't get out enough to spread the news and discuss what, you know, to me is the most important thing on this planet.
Well, I think you'll have your opportunities. I mean, I never get out. I get out to town once every other week, maybe. And I go on walks here for 5-6 miles. Don't see anybody the whole time. I mean, that has its benefits, too.
Yeah, but, Bill, how many people do you reach across through the Internet, through your website? But you do more than any five of us do, so.
Well, right. That's why I never get out.
Right. You have your information highway to reach everybody, and the rest of us got to take the highway.
It's probably we do what we can, and that's it. I mean, you guys reach a lot of people. I see you post in forums, you post around town, if you want to put it that way, around the electronic town anyway. I get hits from Christogenia from some weird places, and I know that James the Just or Victor Switzer are up to something. You know, EUtimes.org or whatever, you know, all kinds of crazy places like that. But that's the something I don't have the time to do that, somebody else can pick up the slack.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if we get to post on other forums, I mean, that's, I'll always leave the, you know, if anyone's interested in hearing more, go to Christogenia.net. You know, I'll leave the link right there.
Yeah, well, that's great. I see those hits. It's every little bit adds up, right? But they can't all come in from search engines.
So did you get out to Walmart today?
No, I was there enough this weekend, believe me. No, I was at Walmart.
Did you see any grazing heifers?
I was at Walmart Sunday morning. It was pretty bad. It was. There were a few. In fact, I think that's when most of the ugly women go to Walmart, is Sunday morning when everybody else is in church.
And you, of course, the arbitrary race mixing couples in the Walmart?
Yeah. Well, actually, I saw something in a Subway sandwich shop Saturday that just turned my stomach. I just wanted to kill. Of course, I didn't. But it was the sweetest young white girl, very Irish-looking, very shapely, and with this Latino hanging all over her. He looked like a Mexican. And that they each got a Subway sandwich, and he's hanging all over her. And I wanted to say something, but it was a New York State trooper there. So I knew best to keep my mouth shut. And they got a table in the corner all cutesy. And I just can't believe it. He wasn't even attractive. He was ugly as hell. And she paid the bill.
Wow.
So that's
you know, it's funny. I was even going to say that. I bet she paid for it.
She took a $20 bill out of her pants pocket and paid the bill.
I'd be tempted to grab that gun from that cop and just shoot him right between the eyes.
Well, you know something? Yahweh's going to judge. He's going to judge that girl and that cop and that girl's father and the whole bit. So that's all we have to look forward to.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, Martin. We're all tempted. When I was at that gathering yesterday, I mean, just unbelievable. You know, I saw this white guy standing next to this big, fat, black woman. And I'm just thinking, you know, I really wasn't trying to think anything of it. And then I saw him turn and give her a kiss. And I'm like, I just absolutely cringed. And I, you know, I know my hands balled up into a fist. And it's like, you know, I just gotta turn my head and pray. Literally, I do, because the first thing I think of is Yahweh. Please, Yahweh, please. You know, this can you do something to end this sometime soon? I'm gonna get sick to my stomach.
That's just sheer stupidity. And I could see some white woman being pulled in by, you know, drugs or money or something like that, but some white guy going for a overweight she-boon is just unbelievable.
Well, and not only that, like, there was, like, two pairs of obvious lesbians there. I mean, the atmosphere was supposedly one of wholesome and family and friendly, and it was
where was this?
This was an event that was held like in this place called Mountain Union in Pennsylvania. It's like in the middle of nowhere. I think it was at like some departmental director's house, because it was a very big house. It looked pretty richy. Tons of area. I mean, it was the paid for catering and all kinds of stuff. There was a couple hundred people there, but it was an event for some kind of department that cared for severely retarded people. And it was,
well, there you go. That's what the white guy was there.
Right. Well, that's what they were all there for. And I discussed it a little earlier, Martin. You know, there was, and of course there were a lot of their retarded clients there, and I took notice. I mean, it was a very mixed, multiracial crowd, and over half, I'd say at least 60% of the, you know, these retarded people were Mamsers.
Probably crack babies or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it, man. But, you know, I was being pretty vocal at that event. I wasn't trying to tick anybody off, and I made sure that I wasn't going to be burning any bridges, but, you know, I definitely picked and chose my timing well for the greatest effect without the least amount of negative repercussion.
So did you have any other run-ins with any other...
Well, it hurts to go out into the world, but it's you know, it's never worth getting yourself your ass in a bind, because even though we have to witness to these people every opportunity we get, it's not worth getting yourself in any kind of trouble over it, right?
Oh, no, but it, like I said, especially in my financial position, you know, I don't want to burn any bridges that way. I still do my utmost to come across as professional, you know, like I said.
Yeah, right. You got to deal with the world on its own terms.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I always pick and choose, you know, when and where to say what.
Yeah, whenever I come across, you know, some memes, I'd blow them off and walk off.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Martin, I absolutely wish I could, but in my line of business, I can't, you know, I can't pick and choose venues and events and things like that that are all white. It's like walking into a bank and, you know, all the tellers are black, Hispanic, or whatever. It's like walking into the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation. You're not going to find one white person behind that counter. Dude, you're never going to get your driver's license if you're able to avoid any kind of contact with these people. Nowadays, you have to.
Well, Yahweh knows we have to deal with the world. Yeah, you know, he knows what's here for us, and he knows what we have to do. And I'm sure that he's, that he's forgivingly permissive about it.
Oh, I agree. And I don't, you know, I don't go out of my way to be rude or ignorant to them. And honestly, when they try to have any kind of in-depth discussion with me, especially theologic, like my neighbor tried to a little while ago, I basically either I end up tearing them a new butthole, or I just say, I don't think you really want to go there.
Well, let's have some somebody else's ideas. I mean, somebody else here has to be able to say something, right? That this is an open forum. Well, whether it be biblical discussion, current events discussion, let's hear it from somebody.
Hello, Bill.
Hello, Bruce.
Yeah, you know the Psalms were prophesying of the murder of Yahshua, Yahweh come in the flesh. They're like dogs, they surround me.
Yes,
Psalm 22.
So I thought it was Psalm 22. Yeah, it might be Psalm 22. They're both messianic.
Yeah,
maybe
it's 22.
Yeah, it's like the power of the dog. Well, dogs are colorblind. So it's like that blindness in the blindness of, you know, we're concerned with our own kind. Right, we're not, you know, gonna cry alligator tears for the non-whites. but it seems like the that color blindness when we're no longer colorblind and we know the difference between a sheep and a goat, that has its own what's that word called where something comes back upon itself. Reciprocation, or I don't know. It seems like that's the best way. That's the best attitude in approaching these, you know, race traders that of what I used to be.
Well,
you know, I was
before we knew any better. I'm sure a lot of us were in one way or another. I mean, we all didn't fornicate with them, but I'm sure that we all. At times in our life, we're tempted or tried or gave our imprimatur to others who did or fraternized with them or whatever. That's, none of us can claim to be perfect, in other words.
Yeah, because he who offends in one part is guilty of all, right?
Well, right. I'm sure that we weren't all... And Martin, that's Psalm 22:18. Darling, deliver my soul, my darling, from the power of the dog. That the you know, we didn't all come into this world as little babies that knew the scripture and everything that we were supposed to do, right? I mean, that's a shame that we weren't taught from the time we were little babies. But
yeah,
but even our parents and their parents and their parents were all taught wrong.
Oh yeah, that's an understatement.
Well, like Paul said, it's why do you boast as though that you've done something on your own accord, as though you didn't receive it? You know, that kind of language Paul used. You know, where he is talking about.
From the beginning, and nobody is. Psalm 22:18, the power of the dog. And that's exactly the Canaanites that he's talking about. It can't be any different.
You know what I came across today that I thought was kind of interesting was 2 Corinthians 4:4, where Paul talks about how Satan rules over the world.
Well, I mean, that's been expounded on quite a bit in the programs I've done with BY, right? I hope.
Yeah, just I never seen it with Paul where he just directly.
Yeah, right. Well, the Bible corroborates itself all the time. I mean, we get that from more than just than just Luke, God of this age. And there was a reason why Christ called them the princes of this world.
Meaning what?
The princes of this world, those who oversee and rule over this world. And meaning that they're not his people, that's for sure. He never considered them as sheep. They're the descendants of Cain who admittedly in Luke chapter 4 has control over the world.
Archons. Is that not the Greek word that is used, archon?
Well, archon is a Greek word for a ruler of sorts. I have a severe handicap because I don't have my Bible works installed on my computer yet. And, don't think that this thing is going to give me the... I could look it up manually in the NA-27 behind me, right?
Well, hey, guys, I think I'm going to call it an evening. I got an early date tomorrow. It's great talking to you guys, and hopefully I'll see everybody tomorrow night.
Take care, Matt. Thanks for stopping.
Good night.
God bless, brother. See you
tomorrow. God bless, Matt.
Yeah, I have this little Bible time set up on this Linux laptop, but it's not configured with Strong's numbers or anything yet. It'll all be set up before the next program on Friday.
Hey, I got another question for you. Question number 5032. So what do you think about this? The whole geocentric idea?
I don't think that the universe or the solar system are geocentric. That's what I think. I think that the Genesis account is given from the perspective of an earthly witness because it was related to a man on earth who recorded it. So it's from the perspective that a man on earth would have when he's seeing these visions of the creation of Genesis 1 and writing them down in a very poetic and metaphoric language.
Okay.
You might be fooled into thinking that geocentricity is biblical, but the Bible is really silent on that.
Okay.
There's no statement in the Bible that can prove geocentricity by itself.
Okay. One thing does come to mind though, and that's when it talks about it was King Hezekiah who wanted a proof as to his that he was going to live.
Well, yeah, right. So sundial gets set back 10 degrees. So from man's perspective.
But it was the sun that actually moved. Yeah, but it was the sun that was moved rather than the earth, right?
How do you know that? I mean, from our perspective, because we're part of the earth, it might look like the sun is moving.
But doesn't it say that the sun was moved and rather than the earth was moved?
Well, that's because it's written from a man's perspective. That don't mean it was necessarily physically true.
It just seems to me that
I mean, if you're in a car and you drive by a pole, you might think the pole moved if you didn't realize the car was moving, right?
Well, it just seems to me that it would be, you know, a great Jew thing for them to do. To say that, you know, look, you know, we're not the center of God's attention, that it's actually the sun and not only, but all the stars that you see out there.
Why does one idea have to conflict with the other?
Because when they say that the stars that are out there are actually other solar systems and that, you know, we're nothing special, that there's tons of these things all over the place. That they're trying to lend credence to evolution.
Just because there's tons of, if indeed there are tons of other solar systems, right? just because there are tons of other solar systems doesn't mean that we're not any that our creation is not unique. Don't fall into that Jew trap. It's a straw man argument.
Exactly. Well,
one aspect does not necessitate the other, Martin.
That they're saying that, you know, there's just an infinite number.
Well, what they say doesn't necessarily refute biblical truth. Not one bit. There could be 5 billion other solar systems. That doesn't refute the Bible. So what? They're not in the scope of the book.
Exactly. No. Making it seem as
it's a straw man argument, though, and you're falling for it.
I think that it undermines.
Well, Martin, you know, let me throw this in.
Okay.
Before the show, both you and Bruce were trying to draw me into this argument about geocentrism, and I didn't bite because I don't have time for it. But here's a couple of things to think about. One of the biggest Jew tricks is, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? So if you want to postulate a geocentric universe, then please explain to me such things that you can see, such as stellar parallax and planetary retrograde.
Sure. What's happening there is where the planets seem to go forward and go back.
Mm-hmm.
Is that actually what's happening is that as they go in an elliptical pattern, that they actually come closer, and as they come closer, they actually appear to go back and then proceed forward.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
The way that I'm explaining it probably isn't as good as.
Well, I've heard the argument from people that are a little more astronomically literate, but it still doesn't wash.
There's been work done by the Astronomer Royal from Britain back in the 1880s.
Yeah, right. And there were tons of people that claim the Earth is 6,000 years old, and all of the arguments make sense until you really think about them. Yeah, you know, well, they all sound scientific, and they all sound plausible until they're really well thought out, and the other side of the argument it is revealed.
And they've also done where they've shot photons, and that...
Yeah, they shot a photon. How did they see where it went?
And they were able to establish that, in fact, it was the sun that was actually moving rather than the Earth itself.
Well, the sun does move.
Around the Earth. If you were in a lake, and there was a boat that was going around you, and...
Well, what we have, the scientific heliocentric view of the solar system, right, that tells us that the sun and all the planets as a unit are swirling around in space. They're moving through space, while at the same time the Earth is moving around the sun, while at the same time the moon is moving around the Earth. So the sun is moving, and that means the Earth is moving even faster.
In many ways, geocentrism is a valid frame of reference, depending on the way you're looking at it. But so is heliocentrism.
Heliocentrism has only been used for approximately the last 500 years. It was brought down by Kepler, Copernicus, and Galileo.
Dishwashing liquid's only been used for the last 100 years. I mean, just because it's new.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead, Bill.
Go ahead.
No, I was just making a point. Just because something is new doesn't mean it's invalid. People have used dishwashing liquid for only 100 years. That doesn't mean you shouldn't use it. You know?
Well, I was going to say, you know, before that, the Greeks believed, the pagan Greeks, a lot of them, not all of them, believed that the planets and the stars were little orbs suspended from a canopy, right?
Yeah.
What about the whole idea of the ether at the ends of the earth? What about the whole idea of the ether that Kaika Einstein ended up abolishing the theory of relativity? He totally did
Einstein
away with it.
Einstein stole relativity. He stole it from German and Dutch scientists.
And he totally abolished the ether. That's what causes the planets to move around, the force of the ether.
Okay, what about it?
That the ether is just it's just a lighter atmosphere, but it still has mass, and that it still moves around and the planets around with it. Stars, and not only that, but the constellations throughout the course of the year never change from our sight.
What do you mean they never change from our sight? They change all the time. The Greeks and the Phoenicians used to keep the calendar by them.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
When certain constellations rose
in the Greeks were geocentrists.
But that doesn't. We're all moving. That in the heliocentric model, they also move with us, and they actually do change their position, and it can be established that they've changed their position over the years, and over the centuries. In relationship to us, they just haven't changed drastically. They don't change very much from year to year, just like an eroding shoreline doesn't change very much from year to year. But after 1,000 years, it's markedly different.
But the thing is that if we were just going around, if we were the third rock from the sun, and we're just going around, then those constellations would change throughout the year in the way that they we view them from Earth.
But
they don't.
Yes, they do. There are times when certain constellations rise in the sky, and times
exactly.
when they descend, and you don't see them for another year until the next season or the next year.
And what they do is that they move around the system in a 12-month cycle.
Yeah, that's very consistent with the Earth moving around the sun.
And that's what causes it, which goes back to the concept of stellar parallax, which you haven't explained yet, Martin.
Okay, let me get to hold on a second. Sorry, I just posted a link of a physicist by the name of Malcolm Bowden from Britain.
Bowden's not here. I'm asking you.
Yeah, so let me get his explanation on it, which...
Well, right, but I'm not going to go read his link, because it really don't matter to me one way or the other, right? It really don't, but I'm not going to go read his link.
Well, I would like to make a correction.
Might be interested in it, but I don't... To me, the heliocentric view of the universe makes the most... View of the solar system makes by far the most sense.
Me too.
And I'm not going to convince me, and neither is any astronomer.
Well, I'd like to make a correction on a statement that was made about wanting to drag somebody in an argument about geocentricism or heliocentricism. There is a centricism that cannot be argued about, and that is this thing called egocentricism or individualism. And that's one thing I think that's most important, rather than argue about what's out there. Right?
Yeah, but you're just bringing up an unrelated topic, right?
That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. And you're okay. Right, Bruce. But
we don't. I don't think. For my arrogant ass, but I'm a dude.
Okay.
No.
Brush it off. Nobody wants to talk about that. That's okay. But anyways, the things that revolve are all important. You know that's a problem because that center projects the images of these different concepts and conclusions about this, that, and the other, and it causes a lot of problems, So the real question is, as the anointed, as Christ's anointed body, can we end all that? See, that's all.
Well, we're not arguing, Bruce. We're discussing it. I mean, the inquiring mind needs to discuss things.
No, we're not arguing. Yeah, that's right. No, I'm not promoting argument. But it's like the image, thou shalt have no other, thou shalt not make unto you a graven image and love, Yahweh with all our heart, mind, soul, strength, and have no other gods before him. And it's like, we've always set up kings to rule over us, right? And others. And that wasn't really theocentric. It was more egocentric, right?
You're philosophizing again, Bruce, but that's okay. I said to me, it don't really make a difference one way or the other, but I lean towards the heliocentric view from a common sense viewpoint. But if I died tomorrow and found out the world was geocentric, it wouldn't disturb me.
It
doesn't make any sense to me now. And I've thought of all the arguments. Balakaius published this book about 5 years ago with this this guy out from left field who tried to put up a good argument for the geocentric destruction of the universe. And I just thought he was a lunatic. Mm-hmm. I just thought he was a wingnut. But that's only my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't matter to me. I'm not going to go on a quest to prove one way or the other right, because in the end, it really doesn't matter. However, I don't think Yahweh has us here learning this lesson so that we could sit on this rather tiny rock for the rest of our eternity.
Hell is that?
It says of his kingdom there will be no end, and I see it growing forever and ever. So I don't see the space here to do that. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but there's definitely a lot more to the universe that we don't see. And a large universe insists to me of a heliocentric view of it. Where the geocentric view makes for a rather small universe, since the other stars are merely lights in the sky and not solar systems of their own.
Oh yeah.
That falls apart just looking at some of those Hubble Space Telescope pictures, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's any attempt to put into words what's seen out there is just, you know, asinine.
There's one line in the Bible, and I think it appears twice, and it says that the earth shall not be moved. And that's what the geocentrics love to point at. However, if you really investigate the Hebrew, you'll see that the line probably much better reads that the earth shall not be shaken from its course. It doesn't necessarily insist that the earth is a rock nailed to some imaginary pole in the sky. Because even the book of Job says that the earth is round and it hangs on nothing. And if the earth hangs on nothing, then it must be moving. If you know anything about physics and about space, if the earth hangs on nothing, it must be moving. I didn't want everybody to just quit. But that's my opinion. Right, Joe. Yahweh can hang the earth on nothing, and yet he can't hook you up with a wife, because maybe you're not supposed to have a wife, Joe. Maybe that's just the way it is. So maybe, Joe, you should pray and ask what it is that you're supposed to be doing with all of your spare time to help edify your brethren and your... And thank him for that little piece of nookie you got back in the 70s that time. Nah, I'm kidding, Joe. I'm just kidding.
No.
That was cool. Well, we got to have something else to talk about. I mean, you could still argue about astrophysics, but I'm not an astrophysicist, so I can't really. I can read the stuff and understand it, but I'm not good at vociferating.
I know a little bit on the subject. I'm not an astronomer or an astrophysicist or anything, but. You know, you can follow the same argument with the flat earthers, okay, the people who claim the earth is flat, and they'll tell you to ignore the evidence in front of your eyes. If you go out to a port or something and you see a ship sailing away, you see it sail over the horizon and it slowly goes down, showing that there's a curvature to the earth, okay?
Right, it's absolutely.
Yeah, when you get things like stellar parallax, or you're talking about, well, the constellations change throughout the year. Yeah, that's because we go around the sun and we get a glimpse of different constellations as we go around the sun. And there's all other kinds of proofs for a heliocentric solar system. with satellites and whatnot, satellites going around the Earth and, you know, their perceptions and stuff. We could go on and on, but it's much more likely we're heliocentric than geocentric.
And you know, the flat earthers, that they take that four corners of the Earth very literally, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, Isaiah also talks about the circle of the Earth. And there were two schools of thought in Greek philosophy, and one was Aristotle, and he was a flat earther, and the other one was Eratosthenes, and he was pretty amazing. He was a mathematician, right? And he got the distance between two cities, all right? He had a distance measured. He didn't measure the difference, the distance, but he got this distance between two cities. And
two cities
from
in Egypt.
That distance, from that distance, and from measuring the sun and how it shone in the bottom of a well, he did all these mathematical, trigonometry geometrical calculations, and he postulated that the Earth was what in our numbers would be about 28,000 miles. In circumference. Now, he was about 4,000 miles off. Actually, he was about 3,500 miles off, I think, right? It may have been a little more than 28,000 miles, but it doesn't matter. It's the distance between the two cities that was reported to him inaccurately. And it's been shown that if he had an accurate distance between those two cities, that his calculations would have been almost precise.
Right.
And he understood that the Earth had a circumference. He understood that it was a globe. And this was in 300, yeah, you know, in the 4th century B.C. But the philosophers won out over the mathematician. And for 1,500 years, the Catholics thought the Earth was flat. So if the church had followed Eratosthenes, there would have been a lot less trouble for Copernicus, Kepler, and Galileo, right?
Well, no, they were flat earthers, right?
Copernicus, Kepler, and Galileo? No, they were all
round. No, they were the heliocentrists.
It was the church that was flat earthers. And they were following Aristotle. They weren't following science. They were following a philosopher. I'm pretty comfortable that I could blame that on Aristotle. And that was the Greek view of the world. I mean that it had pillars. The pillars of Hercules stood at both ends, and they used that language metaphorically. But that was the way they explained that the canopy of the night sky being held over the oikoumene, or the living space.
Well, I mean, in the strictest sense of the word, philosophy itself. You know, obviously, there's man's philosophy. What man, you know, deems as, the word actually means to love what's true. And so Yahweh is the only true philosopher. But, you know, we give twists on words.
Well, right, but the Bible is not a science book, and it uses some metaphoric language that's colloquial with the times that it was written. But we can't look at that metaphoric language and imagine that the Earth is flat and that it doesn't move.
Yeah. Well, I think the Greeks actually brought in the whole thing of measurement into the Western world, correct?
Well, yeah, they had a lot of advanced scientists, but in the case of the church's position on the construction of the Earth, they got that from a philosopher. He wasn't a scientist. If they'd listened to the scientists, they wouldn't have had that problem. Well, I guess that's enough of the flat Earth thing, and geocentricity. Maybe we could talk about something else. No, maybe we can. Somebody out there has to have something to say. Come on, Joe Pennsylvania, unmute yourself. Darn it. let me unmute your mic. I'm going to unmute your mic, Joe. Or we could talk about your... Forget it. We won't talk about that.
I will be back in just a few minutes.
Well, let's. How about take up the subject about how the Frankfurt School indoctrinated our society with individualism? our race.
I'm sorry, Bruce.
You know, now the Frankfurt School pushed this, you know, sexual revolution and individualism and freedom being, you know, to do what each one of us thinks is, you know, right in his own eyes kind of thing.
Well, right. They were a part of that, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
That they were the vanguard at the social revolutions, there's no doubt.
Instead of a think tank, it was more of a Jew bank, really.
well, they were certainly in their employ. I put those three audios that Sword Brethren and I did on the Frankfurt School, the 2 weeks that we did alone, and then the interview with what was Kevin McDonald. I put them on the front page of Christogenia last week.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, for some reason, the middle one has the most downloads. It has 469 downloads in the last week. That ain't bad. And the other two have about 260 and 290, respectively.
Yeah. Well, it seems like, well, the Frankfurt School has taken on a lot of different forms and disguises in this modern age, too. Well, so-called modern age. All the universities and colleges and the whole education system is based around promoting individualism and self-freedom. Basically, that the most important thing, according to the social conditioning of the Jew, it seems, is to seek self-fulfillment.
Well, yeah, they're all about the fulfillments of the pleasures in this world and the desires of the flesh. That's what they do, and that's what the devil does. It tempts us into falling for that.
Mm-hmm.
That they try to lead us away in their sin.
Yeah, it's kind of like a homosexual with AIDS wanting to infect others who don't live according to that way.
Well, when we refuse to join in their profligacy, then they hate us for it. I mean, that's what Paul said, right? We just covered that, Eli and I. Where was that? That was in It was in Peter. It was in 1 Peter. When we refuse to engage and accept the homosexuality and the race mixing, they're startled and they blaspheme us. I mean, it's so perfect. The scripture is just so damn perfect. Well, when you compare exactly what's being said to what's going on in the world, that there's no way any sane person couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
It's amazing that more people don't see it. And Peter's talking about a time that very far off from his own. And that's what we have, all of those hallmarks, all of those scriptural hallmarks of the last days have been here. That they've all been here from the 60s. So it can't go too much longer. I mean, I don't... The patience and forbearance of our God, he should have crushed this world in 1968 at Woodstock, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the mercy and faithfulness of Yahweh is just... is beyond, so-called mental comprehension. It's like the thief on the cross. You know what? Why do you speak like that to the other one? He said, you know, we deserve what we've done, but he's done nothing wrong. And
world, there's no doubt. When up here you have a wonderful white community of mostly craftsmen and farmers, and that they let a Walmart move in and destroy it all, and now everybody's out of work, and now they're letting their daughters marry Mexicans or run off with them. I couldn't believe that. That's incredible. No other race could ever destroy itself in such manner.
Just think about the tremendous amount of energy that we've... in the past that we've put into preserving, especially, you know, Yahweh's separating us, you know, through the carrying us away into Assyria and Babylon, and then, you know, dispersing us into the desolate places. And I mean, that was a lot of energy that we, in the loins of our forefathers, partook in preserving our blood.
Well, absolutely. How many wars have our fathers fought and died in?
Mm-hmm.
War. All the wars in the Middle Ages, holding off the Huns, holding off the Arabs, and we turn around and invite them in. It's the only thing that explains the whole story, is that nothing else explains it. Nothing else explains how the greatest race on earth could be so damn dumb and let itself be destroyed. Voluntarily. And like it. And sign on to it. And join in with it. Nothing explains that but the Bible. Because it's so contrary to all common sense.
Yeah, and because we've separated ourselves from the God of our fathers, Yahweh, that also is a blessing in disguise, in the sense of being a lost, because there's something about, you know, how we're so lost. We're so lost we don't even know who we are, but at the same time, Yahweh's bigger than our, you know, our, not necessarily our willful, well, our willful ignorance, of course, but our own, in a way, keeping things from us to keep us safe also in ways that we're not aware of, not just in bad ways, you know what I'm saying? Well, like white folks don't typically, they're not, unless they're surrounded by beasts, we're not typically like beasts, you know what I'm saying?
Well, absolutely.
And our forefathers must have had a they most certainly had a cohesive racial awareness. I mean, in order to keep, you know, our genetics together. I mean,
no doubt.
And it was all the goodness of our Creator through the ages.
So what's going on here? We have to have somebody with something to say. I mean, this is an open forum.
Well, it's getting about that time of the year again for the Baptist evangelists to come around from house to house in my area and spread the good news of Jesus. I keep waiting for them. They come about once a year to my driveway, and last year I gave them, the local Southern Baptist minister, his daughter, and this, I guess he's 21 now, a 20-year-old college student / evangelist, goes to Ouachita Baptist University. They showed up in our yard. It was about this time last year, and I gave them the identity message. They left very confused people, but they had something to think about. And my dad was sitting on the porch then, you know, and they left, and he looked at me. He said, you know, I'm real proud of you. No greater praise can you get from the lips of a human being right there.
That's good.
Because he doesn't like Baptists either, or he didn't like Baptists either.
Do they try to hit you up for some cash?
Who, my dad?
No, the Baptists.
No, they didn't.
They're trying to lure you into the church and then mug you.
Well, you know, they come at you, they show up, well, we'd like to ask you a few questions. Well, you know, okay, if you don't mind the answers. And, you know, the guy laughed and said, believe me, I've heard it all. And I told him, son, you ain't old enough to have heard it all yet. And, you know, they'd ask you these standard questions about, you know, when you die, where are you going to go? And try to evoke these emotional states in you to make you feel vulnerable. And I just, you know, as the facts I understood them then, and I'm no expert in the identity message now, but I know a lot more now than I did then. I just hit them with the basic facts that I knew. And a little girl threw me for a loop, and she said, well, what's all this got to do with heaven? Well, I didn't know how to answer that then. And I just told her I didn't think the question was relevant. So it's about time for them to come around again, so I think I'll invite them in this time.
You know something? Stephen had sent me, and I kind of lost track of it, but I know I have it in my email somewhere. It's a book on certain Baptist beliefs. But let me see if I can get this out, because it's pretty good. This was a Baptist preacher who basically kind of taught a form of two-seed line.
Hmm. It's not Trail of Blood, is it?
No.
Okay.
No, and I don't have it in my, no, maybe I don't. Stephen, I hope you saved that link, because I can't find the email. I just can't, and I should be able to, but
all right, you just gave a link.
And I tried to download this book, but it was giving me a hard time, right? It's from Google Books.
Baptist Theology of Four Century Study.
Right, and I don't want to buy the book, but I want to be...
Well, you know, when I was a kid, there was an old man who lived down the road from me. He was my best friend's grandfather. And this guy was a staunch Baptist, but he had all kinds of books. And I looked through them, and being 8 or 9, I mean, I really didn't understand what I was looking at. But thinking back, it was British Israelism is what these books were, about how Adam and Eve were white. Christ was white, and that white people were the nation of Israel. Now, that's the first time I'd ever heard anything about that. I was about 8 or 9. And I wonder what happened to those books. And this guy was a staunch Baptist. I mean, he was old-timey, you know, like hard-shell Baptist.
Right, and of course you're not going to remember the... this is actually pretty good. It says, Parker building his doctrine of two seeds on Genesis 3:15, but positing that God and Satan are both eternal and self-existent. So he's a little off there, right? Taught in three treatises that elect humans derived from God's seed and non-elect humans derived from Satan's seed.
Hello?
Satan could beget. Eve bore the seed of the elect and the seed of the non-elect. Well, let me tell you, seed only gets from person to person in one way, right?
Yep. Well, man, I'm telling you, you know, maybe you know more about this, but I truly do suspect in the back of my mind that two-seed line doctrine used to be a lot more popular than it is now. It may not have been taught out of the pulpits, but it may have been talked about in the parlors and in the libraries and stuff. I don't know.
Well, right. Parker was about halfway there.
Yeah.
He didn't have it all together, but he was about halfway there.
And I think Judeo, so-called Jew Christianity, is a recent phenomenon, and it's
it kind of is
proliferation.
Bruce, I trace the bulk of it back to who was that clown? Hal Lindsey and the late great Planet Earth. I think that's when the biggest bulk of it started being preached in the churches about how cool the Jews were. Then you saw the term Judeo-Christian, maybe something you didn't see before that. Again, I'm no expert. That's what I think.
Yeah, universalism was starting to get its start back in the 1800s and kind of swept all that under the rug. But they at least at one point believed in a two-seed line at one point in the 1800s.
Hmm.
Well, I'm sure most of us that came over here were pretty much aware and privy to it. For the most part.
Yeah, I
getting away from the Anglican Church. I'm sorry, Steve.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't mean to trip you up. But yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. It kind of shocked me there for a second, but it was a pretty good find.
And what's really something is the language Paul used when he was talking to the Romans when he said how that we all pass under the clouds and the pillar. You remember that, Bill? In Romans?
No, that's what he said to the Corinthians.
Oh, yeah, the Corinthians, I'm sorry.
About their fathers, right?
Yeah, the Corinthians. But the language he was using was he was cohesive with all, you know, his language was very strong in the sense that we all were, you know, in their loins. You understand that kind of language that he used? Well, of course he studied Greek, right?
Well, that was, he was making a literally true statement concerning the Corinthians. He wasn't talking out of his pie hole. Yeah, you know, he was making a literally true statement. Well, hopefully this week I'll get to post Clifton's next three Ron Wyatt papers. Not on my computer, Mama, should be.
You're also working on 49 and 149 and 150?
I returned 149 the other night. I have to proofread his 150th Watchman's teaching like a milestone, like a lot. 13 years. We're 12 and a half anyway. Hopefully he'll make it for letter 250 or 300 or something. He'll probably curse me for saying that.
For wishing that on him. Clifton, I called Clifton up Saturday and asked him what he had been doing. He told me he was out digging up his sore pipe. He went out and dug up his sore pipe by hand, 83 years old. I hope I have that kind of energy when I'm 83 years old.
Yeah, Rudy, you got
the wrong blood type, Bill.
He didn't want anybody with a backhoe messing with his house, but with the backhoe. So he went out and dug it up by hand. I think that's pretty good.
It's good for him to get to work.
I have the wrong blood type, Victor. I think I'll make it till 83. I mean, I'm in pretty good shape for a 50-year-old. I'll be 50 real soon here. I'm also a carnivore when I'm supposed to be a vegetarian, right?
Yeah.
So, so that doesn't wash too well. Well, if some of you other people don't pipe up and chip in with something, I'm probably going to close this recording soon so I could go fix my chair. Usually by the time somebody like Lindstedt pops in, right?
Oh, Bill!
Pilgrim, I couldn't get the information I wanted from that email that you sent. Your email client is stripping away the header information. That's kind of expected, but I don't know what email client you're using.
Oh, Bill, I wanted to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Where Paul was speaking of... am I sounding okay?
Sounds fine.
Where Paul was speaking about Galatians, about where he speaks about as speaking to Abraham's seed, not as to seeds as of many, but as of one. He was speaking in reference to Keturah and Ishmael and Esau as the many, correct?
Yeah, right. I mean,
those okay. Things. Yeah.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes perfect sense in how he was explaining all of those, the bondwoman and all that. It's perfectly fits in with the language.
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah. I mean, that's the only... It's the context. It's the mm-hmm. context of what he's saying. It's the entire context of the whole three, four chapters.
So, right,
Judeo-Christians, they don't take anything in context. They totally ignore the context. That they study the Bible a verse at a time. They pull one verse out of its context and make up a story about it, and that must be true. Because God knows it was.
It's kind of like... a bunch of puzzle pieces, and if they don't all fit together, it's like scrambled and.
Well, it's one coherent story from front to back, and the only puzzle is being able to understand this, being able to pick up any book and understand it in context from front to back.
So rightly dividing the word of truth, it has to do with putting all the pieces in the right places.
Right. Sounded to me like a lot of hits from Incog Man's site. He must like my site. I don't know who he is, but I appreciate him. He steers a lot of traffic to Christogenia. Well, MacDog, you must have had something to say at the beginning of this program, but you sure as hell didn't say it, so what's up? I'm going to put you right on the spot. Nope, he requested to talk, and then he left. He went out to dinner or something.
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. I said you wanted to talk at the beginning of the program. I don't remember you ever saying anything.
Yeah, I pretty much wanted to have it turned on just in case.
Oh, okay. Just in case you got a sudden fit of loquaciousness.
Or something like that.
Explain that word, Bill.
Well, to be loquacious is to speak well, basically. A few words.
I see.
To be verbose in a elegant sort of manner.
Thanks.
Not to be garish. So, Victor, are you still there?
Victor muted his mic. He must have something to do.
Okay. I have a diagram for him, but...
Of what? The geocentric universe and how planets fly around backwards?
No, actually, what it is that if you were to take the universe as we know it, as we understand it, the heliocentric form, but you were to take, if you were to take the Earth, it stays in a stationary state, and then the rest of the universe in that still heliocentric form revolves around it. So the planets are revolving around the sun as well as around the Earth, but the Earth remains stationary. Kind of hard. It would be easier to do with the diagram, but.
So then, what's the center of the universe? The sun or the Earth?
The Earth.
But then, how come we never see planets go in between the sun and the Earth?
That we never see planet. There's transits all the time. Eclipses. You have Mercury
Venus. The only thing that explains that is that they're both revolving around the sun and not the Earth.
They are. Yeah. We take the model that we have, and what we do is we take the Earth. The Earth stays stationary in its position, but as they're going around the sun.
But then we should see transits of Jupiter and Saturn and Neptune.
No, because they're still. What's easy? Because they're still. We're still the third planet.
So Mercury and Venus are only going around the sun, and they're not going around the Earth. That's what you're saying.
No, they are going around the Earth. They're going around the Earth.
They can't be if there's transits. Unless they only go around the Earth every couple of trips.
Well, I guess that maybe the way to describe what they're doing would be
they would be satellites. They take a shortcut once in a while.
They're satellites of the sun. Well, like the moon is a satellite of Earth, and they
and sometimes they go around us, and sometimes they take the shortcut.
No,
depending on how they feel.
No, not at all. Because what's happening is that it would be like if Venus and Mercury were moons of Earth, and we revolve around the sun, but yet so you still have the
I missed
sun.
The but yet part.
No, there's no but yet. So. You have the sun in the center. The planets are going around the sun, but at the same time they're also going around the Earth as well.
Yeah, but why do we have transits of Mercury and Venus part of the time?
Because they do go around the sun.
But they don't go around the Earth.
They're satellites. They're satellites of the sun, but at the same time they're also going around the Earth, same way that we go around the Earth with our moon.
But we've never observed them going around the Earth. That they would be further away from the sun than the Earth is, right? They would have to be, and that's never been observed.
They would be further away from the Earth than the sun.
At the point that they're going around the Earth, they'd have to be further away from the sun than the Earth is.
Well, they're on the other side of the sun from our position.
So you're saying Mercury and Venus go around the sun.
Correct.
But sometimes. The sun and the rest of the planets go around the Earth. What, if some of the planets go around the sun, why is it such a stretch to believe that the rest of the planets go around the sun?
The rest of the planets do go around the sun.
Then why don't we ever see transits of Neptune, Mercury, and Mars and Pluto
because
and all
the, that? They're out of planets that go around the Earth. So they're going around.
Yeah, but we see transits of Mercury and Venus sometimes, not all the time. Well, right? I mean, if they ever go around the Earth, we can't see a transit.
I wish I could post this diagram.
You can post the diagram.
Wait, it's on the video. I have the video stopped with the diagram on it.
You can post files here.
What? No. Or take a speed test, stop download, but.
Personally, I'd rather believe the World Trade Center collapsed under its own power than believe in geocentrism.
Yeah, it was a
Mercury
it was a
in retrograde
robot.
When it did that? Oh, I'm sorry. which I've been told is not a pleasant experience. Okay.
Oh, probably. Probably that Yahweh so loved the oikumene that, you know, the stars and the planets and the earth, you know, and his creation, is obviously he became flesh. I mean, the earth must have some tremendous importance to him. Well, I would just, you know, trust that Yahweh knows all, and you know, I wouldn't agree or disagree in that sense of having to, you know, come to a conclusion. I don't think that's safe. No, it's fine to talk about it. I didn't say that. Yeah, I didn't imply that. Yeah, inquisitive. Yeah, there's no problem. Yeah. Well, the scientist always has to have a conclusion, right? Yeah. any moving planets don't leave a mark in space anyway, so.
I don't have anything else to add.
Quick question. Is there any other way that I can take a snapshot of a video screen? I tried to speak to you.